Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC and New Jersey Public Radio. The big gender news is that this election gave us 20 women in the U.S. Senate for the first time. Some smaller gender news, three first-term congresswomen from New York lost their seats to men. Republicans Nan Hayworth of the Lower Hudson Valley and Anne-Marie Burkel of Central New York were unseated, as was Democrat Kathy Hochul of Western New York. Let's talk about that and more New York State results with Liz Benjamin, who you may have watched doing election night and convention coverage on New York One, or remember from her daily news column, and she hosts a New York State politics show on the cable station YNN based in Albany. Hi, Liz. Happy second morning after.
Brian, how are you?
I'm okay. Before we get to this as gender news, how about this as New York instability news? In a national election in which almost no incumbents lost, three went down in New York State. Is New York a swing state after all, even if not for president?
That's an interesting question. Let's just first start off by noting that Anne-Marie Burkel has not yet conceded, even though the mathematics are against her.
Okay.
She is insisting she will fight on against Dan Maffei, whom she unseated in 2010.
Right.
That's a central New York district that is pretty closely divided in terms of registration, even after redistricting, which actually is the answer to your question. Redistricting is the reason why we had competitive House races for so many of them, I should note, for the first time in many years. This redistricting process only for the congressional districts was handled by the courts. Now, the state Senate, which is a whole different kettle of fish, was gerrymandered as per usual and handled in a political way. But because the Assembly and the Senate couldn't get their act together and deal on the House lines, this was handled by a special master, much to Nancy Pelosi's chagrin, we should note. She urged Andrew Cuomo, the governor, and Speaker Shelley Silver of the Assembly to get involved because specifically she was worried about upstate women.
And so that's interesting context. And let's take these one by one a little bit because they're each unique and interesting. And maybe the defeat of Democrat Kathy Hochul in the Buffalo area is the most significant because she had just recently won in a special election running against the Ryan budget.
Right.
So remind us of how she was elected and tell us how she lost.
So last year, this was a district, one of the most Republican districts in the state, even before redistricting, which made it even more Republican. It was represented by a guy named Chris Lee, whom your listeners might recall because he was the gentleman who put a shirtless picture of himself on Gawker, on Craigslist, the story broken by Gawker, trawling for dates. He was married. And he immediately resigned, which opened up the seat, and the Republicans went with Assemblywoman Jane Corwin, who is not a strong candidate, and said she supported the Ryan budget, which gave Kathy Hochul, the Erie County clerk, the Democrat, room to get in and really run for victory. She's a very strong politician, we should say retail politician, but there was also a third guy in that race, Jack Davis, and that probably assisted her as well. This was just a two-person race in a newly redistricted area that was even more Republican, and even though the Republican candidate who lost his local race last year to a Democrat, Erie County Executive Chris Collins, even though he himself admitted Kathy Hochul was a stronger retail politician, she just couldn't get over the numbers. I mean, this is a district that went strongly for Mitt Romney.
Do you think there are any national implications in that race? Because I think after the defeat of Romney-Ryan, one of the questions in the House as they go forward into these fiscal cliff negotiations and everything else is, is it in the interest of House Republicans to stand firm with Ryan budget-like ideas, or do they now need to look more to compromise in order to retain their seats in the future?
Right. Whereas the special election that Kathy Hochul won was definitely spun by the Democrats as a triumph over the Ryan budget and the Republicans' attack, quote-unquote, on entitlement programs like Medicare and Social Security, I'm not sure you can read that in to this particular election in part, for large part, really, because of the GOP domination in terms of enrollment. It wasn't necessarily a message election. There were a lot of factors on the ground. All politics is local, as the saying goes. you can try perhaps to spin it, but unless there were other districts that were similar that went the same way, and I don't know that you could find another one where there was a specific candidate who ran against the Ryan budget, mm-hmm. won, and then lost, subsequently went with Ryan as VP, a candidate for the GOP. I don't know. Yeah. I don't know.
All right. So that's the Central New York District. Let's come closer to home in the Lower Hudson Valley. That's the district from northern Westchester up to around Poughkeepsie. Freshman Tea Party fave Nan Hayworth,
yeah.
an ophthalmologist, couldn't see her way to a second term. What happened to Nan Hayworth?
Well, this is an interesting situation. This district also changed. You know, she ran against Sean Patrick Maloney, who used to work for Elliot Spitzer, used to work for David Patterson. He didn't talk about that much. He did talk a lot about how he worked for Bill Clinton, who, of course, lives next door to this district in Chappaqua. And he actually stumped for Sean Patrick Maloney right at the end, just before Sandy hit. It sort of got a little bit lost in the shuffle because of the storm. He painted her as a Tea Party extremist over and over. We actually hosted a debate between these two, and I lost count of the times he said he was a Bill Clinton Democrat and that she was a Tea Partier. The leadership really tried. They sent a number of emissaries in to try and protect her. You know, the Democrats are saying this was a triumph over the Tea Party. I'm not necessarily so sure about that. A lot of the issues that we had, or races that we had here, were 2010 freshmen who came in on that wave in the midterms. She did. Burkle did. Hochul was a special case, as we already discussed. This might just be setting things back on the course for New York, if you will. I mean, we are a Democrat-dominated state.
Right. And that district, though, why is that district such a swing district? And again, it's from just north of the city in northern Westchester up to around Poughkeepsie. We had Sue Kelly, Republican, in the 90s.
Right.
Then Democrat John Hall. Then Nan Hayworth for 2 years. And now another Democrat.
Right.
Why is that area so swingy?
Well, so swingy. You make it sound very hip. It's actually very suburban, not to say that the suburbs aren't hip, per se. It is a little bit more conservative. You have a lot of folks who are commuting. It's very wealthy, some parts of it, but some parts of it are not. This is an area where property taxes are a huge deal. You have a mix of voters who are concerned about a variety of different issues. You know, I think I wouldn't be surprised if it swung back and forth in the future as well. Also, let's remember Curious Joel, who also play a big role, the members of that
that's in the district too.
Jewish
right.
enclave.
And do they go back and forth?
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to put too fine a point on it, but they definitely move based on whichever candidate they think can do the best for the community, mm-hmm. be that a Democrat or a Republican. They went for John Hall. Shelley Silver really urged them to do so in that race, and they abandoned Sue Kelly, where they had supported her before. So it really has to do with who can do better. And, you know, that sounds like people are selling their votes. I don't know what mm-hmm. you could say about that. That would be illegal, of course. But
I just want to note one incumbent congresswoman who retained her seat
yeah.
despite a flood of outside money, Democrat Louise Slaughter in the Rochester area. And the parties and the independent special interests threw lots of money at all these New York congressional seats that we mentioned. According to the Times, the total was $30 million, $18 million from the right, $12 million from the left. Did certain super PACs with certain agendas dominate? Do you happen to know?
Yeah, they very much dominated. I mean, there were, of course, the NRCC and the DCCC, which are the political arms of the two Republicans and Democratic conferences down in the House, got very involved as well and dumped a bunch of money in on behalf of candidates. You also had the House Majority PAC, the U.S. Chamber of Commerce. I mean, that I'm just noting two there. That's a Democrat, the first and the second, usually with the Republicans. They got very involved. It had to do, of course, with control of the House. Louise Slaughter, let's remember, is in her 80s.
Yeah.
She is a veteran politician, and people were very worried about her on the Democratic side because redistricting put her district, which was used to be known as the Earmuff District because it was like a blob in Monroe County and then skirted around in a curve around all these rural GOP-dominated areas.
That's
to
really
land
funny.
In Erie County, now it's all contained in Monroe County, which really, theoretically, should have made things better for the GOP candidate. That's Monroe County Executive Maggie Brooks. Also, you had Louise Slaughter broke her leg very badly. She was she's still using a cane. She was on crutches. She was in the hospital. She was in a wheelchair. Ed Cox, the Republican state chairman, even suggested she was too old and infirm to run. There were rumors about her health, persistent rumors. She kept knocking down. And nevertheless, she came out on top. These two women are known by first name only in Monroe, Maggie versus Louise. It was like Clash of the Titans in Monroe County. She did very well in the end, a significant, not an eking out squeaker. She really did win.
It's the NFL style of politics. If the defender has an injury, run right at her. How about this as three freshman women all being unseated by men? Relevant to anything or just a statistical fluke in a strong year for women candidates generally?
Yeah, it's really fascinating, actually. We should note, though, if you think of women as, quote, a special interest voting group, then...
I don't know if you can think of the majority of the country as a special interest.
You can't, but they're often treated that way, right? This whole election cycle is about pandering to women and wooing women and treating them as a special class. Interestingly, Sean Patrick Maloney will be the first openly gay member of New York's congressional delegation.
Right.
So you could argue that one special interest is traded for another, if in fact you go in that cynical direction. Not to say that I do, just pointing out an interesting fact. I think I wouldn't necessarily say it was good or bad for women in New York generally, because, of course, Louise Slaughter, as we just discussed, was victorious. And then also Kirsten Gillibrand, it looks like she beat Chuck Schumer's historic big 2004 70%+ mandate win. It looks like she's headed to 72, although the votes haven't been counted. And she's now being touted as a 2016 contender, and maybe she'll head the DSCC, and, you know, she's a rising star, certainly. And she raised $1 million for women all across the country, women candidates, and was successful in a number of those endeavors, including Claire McCaskill's win over Aiken. So I don't think you can look at New York and say New York hates women politically. I don't think just three races indicate that.
And there we leave it with Liz Benjamin, who hosts Capital Tonight on the cable station YNN. See, I'm lost in the politics.
It's been a long week, Brian.
It's been a long week. I have to get back out to from politics to media, cable station. Liz Benjamin, thanks a lot.
Thank you. Bye-bye.